He goes on. So he has the oil of gladness beside anyone else. He says, "You, Lord, at the beginning founded the earth and the heavens and the works of your hands." So the Lord founded the earth, the heavens. They're all the works of the Lord's hands. He says, they're going to vanish away, but you will continue, and they will become old like a garment. You shall fold them up like a covering, and they shall be changed. But you are the same, and your years shall not fail. So Jesus is forever. He's created everything. He and the Father are one. No matter what happens to the earth, no matter what happens to the natural stuff, God is forever. Amen? All right. And he says, not all ministering spirits for service, being sent out because of the ones being... So he goes on, he just talks about angels are to help us to do what God's called us to do. We need to take this seriously, amen? Look into every situation. You're in a trial right now, so you need to sit there and spend time thinking, how do I send angels out in the situation? What do I speak from God's word that's going to release angels? Can we begin to do this stuff? Amen. Can we begin to be doers of the words and not hearers only? Amen. Can we begin to say, "What, Lord, give me a word that I can release. And let me spend time in your word and get me that word that I can release that's going to release angels into the situation." If you're looking for a job, find the scripture. Just right away, I think of the scripture that says, you know, that there's lots of scripture where he says that you won't be begging bread. There's scriptures where he says that he's going to, if he says that you're worse than a heathen, if you don't go take care of your family, then he's going to make sure if you don't want to be a heathen, that he's going to make a way for you to provide for your family. Amen. So you release that. God, I don't want to be a heathen. I want to take care of my family. And I release right now that word that I am not a heathen, that I am going to take care of my family. And Lord, I release that. And angels, you go in the name of Jesus and you open those doors of how I'm supposed to bring in that provision. Amen? Come on. I talked to some of you guys and you're in these trials. So what did, and what words have you, what do I have to do? Do I stand on my head or, you know, I could stand on the table. You know, you want me to dance up there or something? Come on, wake up. Don't wait until the battle is so fierce that you have to have even more faith to overcome. Amen? Take this stuff seriously. You're in a covenant where God says if you don't harden your hearts, he's going to lead you. Amen? He's telling you right here in Hebrews. He's in charge of everything, and he has angels who are going to minister on your behalf. If we would give them as much to do in the positive realm as we give the demons to do in the demonic realm, it would be amazing the change in even our nation and the politics and everything else. Amen? 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 I've got to speak out of faith and love. And then God's got angels to go and do some warfare. Amen? To go and speak and to go and set things up and to go and talk to leaders and to go and talk to that next. Don't ever go to a job interview without prayer and a word from the Lord. You're wasting your opportunity. Amen? Well, but I'm qualified. Yeah, but so is probably 1,000 other people. What's going to give you favor? You might not even be as qualified. I'll take favor over qualified. But if I'm qualified and I add favor to it, praise God. Amen? So I got to take this favor thing seriously. I need to study favor a little bit. I need to pray. I need to see these words. I need to release angels. I've learned this the hard way, okay? I've learned I used to just go through life and kept on trying to fix everything that got messed up. Why is it so bad? And then I'm like, Lord, he goes, why don't you do this ahead of where you go? Why don't you get led by me instead of asking me to fix all your mess? How about we quit making a mess? Ooh, concept. That would be a good idea. Amen. Don't leave me like, don't go by what happened yesterday. What's today's word? What's God doing today? What is it? How is he going to open a door? Ooh, you can't just say, no man can open a door. For me but God and nobody. Well, go read those scriptures and see where you have to walk with God for that to be true. See what the requirements for getting in that kind of place of authority with God are. It's worship, by the way. The key of David is worship. Worship was the key that David had where he could boldly state, No one can open doors that God has closed, and no one can close doors that God has opened. Amen? Where's your worship in your trial? Amen? Where's your worship? Sit there. Well, I've been too busy. Okay, good. Try this on your own. Let's see how that goes for you. Maybe it'll go good. I'm not cursing you. Maybe it'll go good. But why not recognize you're in a covenant with God? Come on. I'm in a covenant with God. I got God who I've made the Lord of my life. He owns me. He says in his word, if you're especially the husband, he wants you to work. He wants you to take care of your family. He says that. It's his will. It's his desire. And I'm thinking I want to do this without him. Why? Why? Why would you want to go to the doctor and get the report without God? When you can have God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? I want to be led by the Spirit of God, not just desperate all the time when I wasn't led and end up in a mess. Amen? Amen. God, show me what to do. What do we do? Give me a word. Show me how to fight. Show me what to release. Help me cancel where I messed this up. Amen? Help me repent and turn this thing around. Amen? All right. Having fun already? All right. This could take a while, huh? All right. All right. So here we go. He goes on. Hebrews 2. He goes on. He talks about it's important. For this reason, it's needful for us, Hebrews 2, 1, to abundantly take heed of the things that we've heard, so that they should not slip away. What does he say? He said, it's abundantly needful for us to understand God and his word. It's abundantly needful for us to live this out. It's abundantly needful for this to be real. Amen? It's abundantly needful that we get into God's word, we understand God's word, we work on it. For if the word spoken by angels was confirmed, every transgression disobedient received a just repayment. How shall we escape? Okay, get this. How do we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? How do we escape what the enemy's up to if we neglect our salvation? The cool thing is we don't have to neglect our salvation, amen? We don't have to neglect our salvation. We can live in that place of walking with God and hanging out with God and loving God. All right, so he goes on. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? If you've neglected your great salvation, there's a good thing, it's called repentance, amen? Really repent for neglecting your great salvation, amen? Live in your salvation. Live in the place of healing. Live in the place of deliverance. Live in the place, all of it based on relationship with God. Live in this place of eternally, eternally belonging to God, amen? Live in the revelation of this great salvation, and don't ever let it just become something you take for granted, amen? All right, so he goes on, he says, this great salvation we receive from the Lord, it's been confirmed by the ones hearing it. God gave witness to it. He gave miraculous signs and wonders, different works of power, even gave out the Holy Spirit according to his will. He did not put the coming world under angels about which we speak, but one fully testified somewhere saying, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you look upon him? You made him a little less than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and you set him over the works of your hands. You subjected all things under his feet, for in order to subject all things under his feet, he left nothing not subjected to him. But now we do not yet see all things being subject to him. All right. In this whole thing that God did, his son came as a man. His son came as a man. When Jesus walked on the earth as a man, he was just like us, except without sin, and he was connected to the Father because he didn't have sin. He was tempted in every way that we are tempted, and he chose to stay connected to the Father. Amen? He chose to stay obedient to the Holy Spirit. Amen? He chose that. Can I just tell you this? In this covenant, when Jesus died for our sins and made the way for the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Amen? The Holy Spirit coming inside of us gives every person here that same First of all, the blood of Jesus gives every person here the same starting point of forgiven. Amen? Every person here gets the same starting point of sinless when we repent. Amen? Okay? And because his spirit lives in us, every person here in this covenant gets to hear God and stay in God's will. And if there's stuff there that we didn't repent of or hate, Holy Spirit is in there as a sanctifier to get that out of the way. Amen? All he's asking us to do in this is walk with him in this. Hang out with him in this. Understand that Jesus did this. He made the way. He showed us how to do it. And he was made just like man, lower than angels. And yet he did not give in to the enemy. Amen? He kept walking where he needed to walk, all right? And then the Father says he's going to put everything under his feet. There's nothing that is not subjected to Jesus Christ, okay? He says, right now, it doesn't seem like that. We don't see that happening, right? Come on, if you live in the world, you can say right. But it's going to happen, okay? He goes, okay, for this reason, holy brothers, called to be partakers of a heavenly calling. All right, guys, you are in this new covenant. Every person who's born again of the Spirit of God, you are called to be a partaker. You can be called and choose not to accept the calling. Amen? But you are called. It doesn't matter if you're 12. It doesn't matter if you're 20. It doesn't matter if you're even 6. It doesn't matter if you're 90. If you're called, you are called to be a partaker of a heavenly calling. And he says, so look to the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Because we're called, we look to Jesus. Amen. Because we're called, we can see how this thing works. Amen. We can walk with God and see how this works because we are called. We are called because everything has not been yet subjected under the feet of Jesus, according to the scripture that was before this. This is for this reason. For the reason that everything has not yet bowed its knee to Jesus, God has called us to be partakers of his calling. Amen. What is he saying? We are going to make these things submit. Amen. In this covenant, we are going to make these things submit. He goes on, being faithful to him who appointed him, just as he was to Moses in his house, he was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Jesus is counted worthy of more glory than Jesus, by so much as the one who built the house has more honor than the house. The creator of the house gets more honor than the house. Amen. Every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Moses was truly faithful in his house. That's old covenant, okay? As a ministering servant, for a testament of those things having been spoken. But Christ, as son, over his house, whose house we are. Oh, so what does Jesus consider you to be in the new covenant? His house. Okay, everybody get this. His house. Each person here is his house. What does it mean, house? It means dwelling place. In the new covenant, Jesus Christ, who has more glory because he created you, amen? He created his house, amen? He created his house. He gets more glory than you'll ever, ever get, amen? And he calls you his house. How many of you need some repairs? Amen. Amen. How many want to start letting the sanctifier clean things up and then repair things? Amen. Amen. You are his house. And there's scriptures that go along with this. I don't know if it's in Hebrews or not, but there's the ones in the house. There's some who want to be gold and some who want to be silver and some who just want to be wood and some want to burn up and some aren't even trying. And the Bible's very clear. Those who choose to put off the messed up stuff are going to be the gold and the silver. Amen. So we get the choice in this covenant how much we will let God deal with us. But if everybody just gets this, in this new covenant, God dwells in me to the place of calling me his house. So honestly, when it comes to racism, okay, let's just say for racism, who cares what anybody else thinks if God says, I built you, you're my house. If you're male or female or whatever, who cares what anybody else says? If God, he built you, so obviously he built you. He says, so he, you are his house, you're his house. Amen? You're his house. All right. But Christ is Son over his house, whose house we are. If now here's when we become his house. If we truly hold fast the boldness and rejoicing of the hope from to the end. Ooh, wait a minute. I thought there was a once saved, always saved scripture. Well, you won't find it in the scriptures at all. Amen. You'll find this kind of scripture a lot more. It is our covenant duty to hold on to the end our believing in Jesus. Amen. It's our covenant duty to continue to believe and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. He is calling us to do that. Amen. Amen. Do you get that? He's calling you to stay hungry for him. His Spirit will help you. His Spirit will stir you. His Spirit will guide you. But you have to be an person who wants to walk in that. Amen. I want to walk in this covenant with God. I want to let him be in my house. I want him in my house. I want to welcome him in my house. And I'm going to stay bold till the end. Okay. He for every house is built. Okay. And Christ as the Son over his house, whose house we are, if. When there's an if, there's an if, okay? So once saved, always saved. Oops, they forgot the ifs. Amen? Get rid of doctrine. Of course, the wrong doctrine. Who would like you to think that once saved, always saved? Because then you can let the devil do whatever he wants and you think you're okay until you stand before God and find out, oops, that wasn't in there. Amen? Now, this isn't a we're going to see this isn't a struggling thing. This is a love thing. I'm in love with the one who lives inside of me. First, I'm serving him. I recognize him. I honor him. I respect him. I'm just going to say, yes, sir. Amen? But it's amazing in this relationship. I actually, the more you say yes, the more you prove your love to him, the more you begin to fellowship with him, and the more you fall in love with him. Amen? And then it's just like, yay, I'm glad you're in the house. Don't leave the house. Amen? If truly we hold fast, that means don't waver, the boldness and rejoicing of hope from to the end. In other words, we've got to stay bold. We've got to speak who he is. We're not going to let political correctness or anybody else close us down. Amen. We're going to boldly, without embarrassment or shame, recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. He lives in this house. No matter what you do to this house, you can't touch what he truly built, is the Spirit. And my spirit is one with his spirit. And even if you mess with this house, there's a house made without hands, the Bible says, in heaven for me. Amen? The Bible says, I'm confident, yes, that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's actually what we put on my daughter's tombstone, or gravestone, whatever you call that thing. We put to be absent from the body. And it actually says it's better. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? Amen? That's a reality for believers. If I check out of this body, I'm hanging out with God. Don't worry about me. Amen? All right. So it goes on. Now, this is getting important. Because of this, because you have to hold firmly to the end, even as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. That's where your fathers were tempted, who tempted me, testing me, and saw my works for 40 years. Because of this, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. Okay, to not go astray in your heart, what do you need to know? The ways of God. One of your prayers, if you're serious about this covenant relationship, teach me your ways, God. Teach me your ways, God. Teach me your ways, Holy Spirit. Teach me your ways. You should want to know his ways more than you want his power. Amen? You should want to know his ways. I want to understand you and your kingdom, seeking first the kingdom. I want to know your ways. I want to understand you. I want to understand all of this. So God has put us in a covenant relationship with him where we can understand his ways. Amen? So when people say, I don't understand the ways of God, well, softened your heart. Soften your heart. His ways are higher than my ways, amen? They're not lower than my ways. And yeah, I have got to be matured by him to go from glory to glory, line upon line, precept to precept. This is an ongoing relationship, a building relationship. Can I encourage everybody? You know, if you're getting in a relationship with someone, especially if it's a relationship that could lead towards a marriage or a business partnership or anything where you're going to have to really work with somebody, amen? You need to let that thing build. Know what's going on. Know their heart. Know their ways. Know what's going to happen. Know what this means. You know, it's a relationship with God. It's a relationship with God. Amen? The cool thing about God, he's perfect. Amen? He's perfect. That he lets us know his ways is amazing. Amen? He's awesome. All right? So get a heart. Lord, I want to know your ways. I really want to know your ways. All right? He goes on. Don't tempt God. Don't test him. In other words, once you know that you know him, don't let the enemy take your brain out and question if he's real. Amen? When you know that he's real, you know that he's real. Amen? That settles it. But one thing that will cause torment is when you open up the door of your understanding to the enemy and you begin to question and doubt what God has taught you in his word and you know that you know. Amen? So once you're saved, once you know that you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, you've asked his Holy Spirit in you, you're in a covenant relationship with him, you're saved. Amen? Period. I'm saved. Yay. Thank God. Woohoo. Hurrah, hooray. Amen? Okay? But you just said, no, I said you can know that if you boldly hold on to this relationship till the end. That's your part. Okay, my part is to say, okay, I accepted Christ, I'm saved. Now I'm holding on. I'm holding on. Nothing says the devil cannot make you not hold on. Amen? He has no authority to stop you from clinging to God. Amen? None. That's your choice. That's your choice. Amen? The devil's going to do everything he can between wrong doctrine and bitterness and lies and stuff he's going to throw at you. He's going to do everything he can, what? To cause you to quit holding on. Amen? But when the enemy attacks, you overcome. Amen? And you hold on tighter. Amen? And no weapon formed against you prospers if you know that and you believe that and you do what the Lord shows you for that to be true. Amen? All right. All right, because of this, he was angry with them. They go astray in their hearts. They did not know his ways, and he swore they shall not enter into my rest. So what is a key that God's had from the very beginning, but nobody got to it yet, that he wanted us to enter into? His rest. Okay. The word rest is to cease striving and Basically, I'm not eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and trying to figure out my life anymore. I'm not going to try to figure out what to do and how to do it and when to do it. I'm not going to wear myself out. I'm not going to be stressful. I'm not going to be under strife. I am going to not harden my heart in this covenant. I'm not going to harden my heart. I'm going to know God's ways, and in that place, I'm going to enter into that rest. Okay, I'm going to enter into that place where he's in charge. Adam and Eve were basically in the rest, if you want to call it that, before they fell, right? God took care of everything. They just enjoyed life. They just enjoyed him. They just enjoyed their circumstances. They named all the animals. They just had this great time. And then when they chose to be disobedient and become like God, in other words, take his place in decision making, amen? Then all of a sudden, they were full of anxiety, right? And worry. And then they were cursed. And from that point on, Adam had to figure out how to make things work. Can I tell you something? If you're looking for a job, if you need more money, especially you guys, you are no longer under the curse that Adam was under, that he had to work and sweat and strive and try to make ends meet. You are now to enter into a rest, which means God will open the doors. He will show you the way. He will, if you don't harden your heart and you learn his ways, he will help you and take care of you. Pretended faith is your enemy because pretended faith makes you think that's just going to automatically happen. And if it doesn't, God missed it. Amen? No, you've got to begin to walk out in faith. Amen? Abraham had to walk out in faith. The Bible says to do all that you can do and then stand. Most people don't do hardly anything that they can do and they think they're standing. Amen? But, do it in faith. Do it in faith. Do it in faith. Release ministering spirits in faith. Amen? Make this real, guys. Make this kingdom living real. It's not about in here. It's about a heart that sees that God is big and he is real and he is powerful. And we're living in this, on this planet right now, right? We're living in this world right now, right? And we've got to survive in this world right now, right? But we're spirit beings led by the God who created us. And he knows every job that's there. He knows everything blocking your blessing of having a baby. He knows everything. Do you get that? The rest is, he knows. Now I'm going to go on this journey like Abraham and find out how to get to that promise. Amen? And if he wants to add long suffering to your journey, you might not get to it when you thought you should get to it. But if you're falling more in love with him and trusting him more, not hardening your heart and hearing him and being changed into his likeness, it's okay, because that's what he's really about. Amen? That's what he's really about. Holy Spirit is about making a bride for Christ. That's the whole book of Revelations. That's the joy set before him. He's more concerned about making Heath into the bride of Christ than he is about where Heath will be living in 2 months. That's the scary part to the flesh. Amen? Wait a minute. I like that itchy ear doctrine that said if I just say this and do this and claim this and do this, then everything's fine. That's one extreme. The other extreme, everything's his will. The devil beats a tar to you when you blame God. Nothing ever happens and this happens and you're beaten and nobody even would want your God. Man, he's like an abusive father. You got two extremes. Amen? That both miss the point. God delights in teaching us his ways. Amen? In this covenant, he lives in us. He's talking to us. And the key is don't harden your heart and quit trying to figure it all out, but step out in faith. Do all that you can do and then stand. In other words, everything I do, like as I'm growing and maturing, and I can give so many examples. I can write so many books. I have a feeling I'm going to. I'm actually starting to like writing. That's kind of strange for me. When I bought this building, okay, when God had us buy this building, it was supernatural, right? Okay, it was natural that, we either have to sign a lease for this other building and rent for 3 more years, or now's the time to get out and buy. I never even thought of buying, okay? I never even thought of buying. We had maybe 20, 30 people even came. We didn't have any regular income over, maybe $8,000 a month came in. You know, we weren't even thinking about it. And then God uses my brother, who's Mr. Businessman, to say, I don't see why you're wasting money. Why don't you buy a building instead of renting one? But God had my brother say that. And when he said it, it hit me. And I'm thinking, I never even thought about trying to buy a building with such, small ministry and a little funding and nobody's making paychecks or anything. I never even thought about it, but it wouldn't leave me alone. Then God had me read this book. I don't know why I read this book. It wasn't a book I would pick to read. It was a very strange book. And on one page, it was a book where one page it would tell you a story, and they were like made-up stories, and the next page it would give you life lessons. And I was reading this book, and it was the book was How to Be a Millionaire or something like that. And I'm reading these things, and the whole time my brain is going, that would never happen. Nobody's going to let you buy a building and not make you put a big down payment. Nobody's going to finance it. Why would they do that? This could never happen. And then within a year, it was happening right before my eyes for me. Amen? I'm thinking, this is that book you had me read that I kept saying this couldn't really happen. I'm not saying I released angels. I'm not saying I had faith. I'm not saying I did anything right. Thank God he's faithful when we're not. Thank God he smiles and knows right where we're at. He knew she's going to learn. Wait till she gets in this building. And then we're going into phase 2. We're going to who this thing. Wait till she sees her bills are going to go from $8,000 a month to $23,000 a month overnight. Wait till she sees the city's not going to let her have the building for a church. Wow, this is going to really rock her carnal world. Can I let you in on a covenant understanding? He is changing you into the likeness of his son. He's more concerned about that than anything else. And if you will walk in this covenant agreement with him and let him do that, but do your part of doing what he shows you, hanging on to him, being obedient, being real, get out of pretended faith. Oh, I just want to smack pretended faith off of everybody. She's not talking in love, probably not, but I still want to smack. I've watched so many people live in pretended faith and their lives are a mess. I want you to have a real collision with God, amen? I want you to be led by God. I'm cool with you being so scared like Abraham was, but so obedient that you're going to walk out in faith. Amen? You get the vision. Abraham had to get the vision of the stars in the sky that he was going to have children when it seemed impossible. You better get vision. You better get vision for holding on to what God's given you when the devil's out to try to take it. Amen? Ooh, yay. It's like this journey where if you find God in a real way in it, you really will count it all joy. Amen? Amen? That's what this is about. This is about learning about your God and falling in love with him and obeying him when everything in the natural says, don't do that. And then having to trust him in ways that only he can work. Amen? This is going to take a long time to preach Hebrews. This will be our 3-month project. Okay. All right. I think I'm finally where I wanted to get to. All right. All right. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We need to ask Holy Spirit to soften our hearts. The enemy... What does the enemy want to do? He wants to stop you from hearing God. Amen? He wants to stop you from hearing God. He knows this word. He knows the God of this word. And he knows when God says something, he means it. So the enemy knows, I've got to harden their hearts. I've got to harden their hearts. I will do it with wrong doctrine. I will do it with them being upset with me, with the devil making them upset with me and then blaming me. I will do it with them not understanding what I'm requiring of them because they don't really get into my word to know. Amen? He doesn't. Satan wants to harden your heart. Amen? He wants to harden your heart. He wants to harden your heart. The minute he hardens your heart, you can't hear God. The key to this covenant relationship with God is that we do not hear God through the prophets and other people anymore. We hear God through Jesus Christ. Amen? We hear God through Jesus Christ. And then there's the ministry gifts to come alongside us, to build us up, edify us, help us, equip us, but never, ever take his place. He will never, ever, ever allow the old covenant rule to operate in new covenant relationship. So if you live your life waiting for the next prophetic word, or what does this person say I should do? I cannot tell you what to do. I can give you wisdom. The Bible says to go and get counsel for godly wisdom. But you have to hear from God. You have to hear from God when somebody's speaking into your situation. And you've got to take it to God and hear from God and get a word from God. Does everybody get this? In this new covenant, he's serious. You've got to hear him. Amen? Amen? And your sin, your blatant disobedience and sin separates you from hearing him. And the more you keep sinning, the further you get away from hearing him. He hasn't gone anywhere. How do you get back? Repent and mean it. Repent and mean it. And run to him. Because he's so merciful. Amen? He's so merciful. But don't keep hardening your heart. And don't think it's his voice when you're hearing something that doesn't line up with his word or his nature. Amen? All right. Let's go on. Okay, look at this. All right. Hebrews 3:12. Watch, brothers. That's us. Watch. Lest perhaps there shall be any one of you with an evil heart of unbelief who withdraw from the living God. All right. When God says watch, what does he mean? He means watch. Amen. So he says that we as brothers can have evil, unbelieving hearts. Can you believe that? Can you believe that people born again of the Spirit of God, brothers, can have evil, unbelieving hearts? How many in here have had an evil, unbelieving heart? How many know that sanctification is God getting the evil out? And as he gets the evil out, my relationship with him increases and I become a believer. Amen. As I walk through things and I watch him, that's why David, even under the old covenant, David would always go back and recall God's faithfulness. Can I tell you something? When the devil is trying to eat your lunch, amen, when he's trying to cause you not to hear God, when he's trying to get the upper hand in this thing, he is going to try to remind you of where he wants you to think God has failed you or failed others. Amen. But Holy Spirit wants you to go and be reminded of the faithfulness of God. Amen. No, I remember we were going through this and God did this. And I remember they were going through that and God took them through that. And you need to speak it and you need to say it and you need to prophesy it and you need to believe God is bigger than this. Amen. God is bigger than this. God took me through this. He took care of this. He loves me so much. I'm in covenant with him. I'm in an agreement with him that he is going to heal me. I'm in agreement with him that if I let him deal with this fear and his perfect love gets this fear out of me, I will have my sound mind. I'm in agreement with him that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement with God. Amen. I'm in an agreement with God. And I will not let the lies of the enemy harden my heart. I will not let where people have twisted scripture because they don't understand something change the revelation of the truth of the faithfulness of God. Amen. Amen. Okay, then he goes on. Watch, brothers, lest perhaps there should be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief that withdraws from the living God. Let me say, get that evil heart of unbelief out because that's what's made you withdraw from God. Amen? And that lie you had that we shared about God helped to break that, okay? But when you see anything else trying to make you withdraw from God, you stop and say, wait a minute. God's told me in his word that if I'm withdrawing from God, there's an evil in my heart that's causing unbelief. Amen? So I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to go to the sanctifier and ask him to show me that evil so I can renounce it and get it out. And I'm going to believe God. I'm going to recount his faithfulness. I'm going to build myself up in his most holy faith. I'm going to remember the awesome things he's done for me. I'm telling you, like when Karen and I and Nilo, whoever else was with us, when that gigantic typhoon, it was in October, I think 2 years ago. I'm talking about a biblical proportions. How's that for being a player in the things of God? Wow, we're right here on the exact island where the typhoon of biblical proportions is supposed to hit. Help! Amen? What do? You can go into fear and unbelief, and or you could just sit there, look at each other like we do and laugh and say, remember when we turned that one out to sea? Remember when we did this? Remember when we did that? But it's not pretend to faith. You build yourself up by recounting the powerful things God has done for you. That is a pattern throughout the entire Old Testament. Amen? Remember what he's done for you. Remember how he's done it for you. Remember those things where God, where you were able to walk with God and hear God and he broke through. Amen? And build up your faith and speak those things. But even in the midst of that, you don't go on yesterday's news. Amen? God, tell me what you want me to do now. That's why hearing him is awesome. God, like what exactly are we supposed to? And then you do it. For us, it was simple. Call Nicole and have 12 people pray. It wasn't up to me if they prayed. All he told me to do was call Nicole and have 12 people pray. Amen? Just do what he tells you to do. But do it. And you hear him. And you're a doer of the word when I hear him and I do it. Not when I hear somebody else did it. When I hear him telling me to do it and I do it. Amen? So y'all get this. In this covenant, there's this gigantic revelation that we're not just hearing God through the prophets, but we're hearing God through our relationship with his son. Amen? Through our relationship with our son. We don't give up on something because everybody else says give up on it. We let it go when God says let it go. Or we hold on till God says, no, I haven't finished with this yet. Amen? Amen? Nothing's impossible for God. But wake up, O sleeper, and get into this covenant relationship. Don't make it harder on yourself by staying blind until the thing is so big, it's so impossible to believe God. It's still not totally impossible, but it's, I'm telling you, it's a lot easier to stop cancer like God showed me with the avenging spirit, right? Than to get the cancer and then try to fight the cancer and then trust God against it. You can do it, right? But wouldn't it be cool to hear him and stop the enemy? Wouldn't it be cool to hear him and stop the enemy from taking your job or stop the enemy from hurting your children or stop the enemy? How many would like to wake up and enter into a season where we stop the enemy before there's the mess? Amen? We can live like that. We can live in this place of being led by God as an overcomer. Amen? We can be led by God to overcome. Amen? And deal with the things he wants us to deal with. Okay. All right. Is this helping? Yes. All right. Write notes when you need to. If you need to write notes or get the teaching. Because there's such key words in this. You know, I could preach it again. It would be totally different, but yet truth. You know what I'm saying? There's so much here. But tonight he's emphasizing, deal with your evil hearts. Let Holy Spirit deal with it. Deal with unbelief. Amen? Enter into the rest. Don't withdraw from God. If your way of handling disappointment, if your way of handling confusion, if your way of handling sin, if your way of handling anything is to withdraw from God, repent. Decide that is not the way to handle life. Amen? That's not an option plan any longer. That's not an option plan any longer. Amen? Not only am I not going to withdraw from him, I'm going to listen to him. When the devil wants me to leave, I'm staying. When the devil wants me to stay, I'm leaving. I'm not led by the devil, but I'm not going to be influenced by the enemy. I am not going to be influenced by the enemy. I am not going to be influenced by the enemy. When I am influenced by the enemy, I operate in fear. When I'm in fear, I'm outside of the covenant. Amen? Do y'all get that? All right. Exhort yourselves every day, as long as it's today. Whew. Well, get this, that not any of you are hardened by the deceit of sin. Wow. The deceit of sin will harden your heart. Oh. I hear so much preaching. Why don't they preach the word? We need the word. This is what we need. Okay? Get this. The deceit of sin will harden your heart. Justifying your sin. Remember we talked before about that but? The but of justifying your sin is deception, okay? Deception will cause you to harden your heart. In this new covenant, it is so important that my heart not be hardened. Amen? It's so extremely, vitally important that I do not allow the enemy to harden my heart. And sin, participating in sin, operating in sin, continuing in sin, causes deceit, okay? Deceit means you don't get any more, that you are missing it with God. Amen? Deceit means sin will cause you to be deceived. When you're deceived and you think you're right with God, and you're deceived and you think it's okay you're saying these things, and you're deceived. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sin. If you are in sin, if you continue in sin, if you let attitudes of sin in your heart, you are walking into deception. Deception will harden your heart. What happens when your heart is hardened? You will not hear God. And you will not enter into the rest. What's the rest? Where he's in charge of your life. Amen? See, you can actually read the word and really understand what the enemy would be up to. Amen? Because Holy Spirit uses the word to warn us how to live this out. Amen? All right, he goes on. For we have become partakers of Christ if truly we hold the beginning of the assurance firm to the end. Once again, there is another great scripture to say we are responsible to believe his word until the end of our life. We don't take a break from it. We don't just assume we did an altar call and now we're saved. We are responsible for going after God and hanging out with God for the rest of our life. And if that's a problem for you, why? Why would you not want to hang out with God once you found him? Amen? Amen. Come on. I want you guys to see this. You know, when you go back to video games or you start looking at junk on the internet or you start gambling, because whatever it is, when you start playing or drinking a little bit or whatever, you know right away you can feel that deceit of sin trying to come in, right? And what does it begin to do? It begins to harden your heart. What does it try to get you to withdraw from God, withdraw from church, withdraw from Christians, right? How many know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. All right, and you really have walked there before. Raise your hand. All right, so get it. You guard yourself against that. If it means call somebody and confess, run to somebody, go to church, you know, talk to God, repent, recognize you're in covenant, and the enemy knows the scripture, right? And this is where he's going to try to get you. He's going to try to get you in sin, and then he's going to bring deception on it, and he's going to try to harden your heart so you can't hear God. And then what happens? God's not talking to me anymore. No, he's talking. You've hardened your heart not to hear. And you run and you repent. And you mean it. Amen? You mean it. All right. All right. We have not become partakers of Christ if truly, for we have become partakers of Christ, which means I'm eating of Christ. I'm living in Christ. His spirit is in me. I'm one with Christ. I live in the anointing. I hang out with God. Amen. If truly we hold the beginning of the assurance to the end, as in the saying, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the provocation or in the wilderness. If you hear, okay. Today. If you hear his voice, obey him. What happens, what he's saying here, when I start to lead you, whatever it is, if I'm telling you do this, if I'm telling you leave that, if I'm telling you be involved in this, if I'm telling you these things, okay, and you don't obey that voice, your heart starts to harden. And pretty soon you wonder, why doesn't God talk to me? I'm telling you, if you would go back to when you started disobeying God and not listening to God and twisting his word and changing what was being said to you, if you would go back to that and really repent, you will start that conversation up again. But this time, you will say, yes, sir. Amen? Amen? Does everybody get this? He wants us to be sensitive. He put his Holy Spirit in us to help us to recognize, okay, this is me. I'm being led into sin. This is crazy. I'm not listening to him. He told me to get up and prophesy, and I didn't do it. I'm not talking about me. I always do it, but, you know, and like, oh, and then you're like, oh, I don't know. I can't do it anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? Do what he tells you to do when he tells you to do it. He says, today, if you hear my voice, today, when I talk to you, do what I tell you. Today, when I talk to you, do what I tell you. Today, when I talk to you, do what I tell you. Today, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put it off. Don't rationalize it. Don't figure it's from somebody else. Today, some of you have hardened your hearts because you didn't obey today. Amen? You didn't go where he told you to go today, and you missed what he wanted to teach you that day. You didn't do what he wanted. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is really about being God. In this covenant, he wants you to know, in this covenant, do what I say when I say it. Do what I say when I say it. Because when you don't do what I say when I say it, you're letting your heart harden. Amen? When you don't do what I say when I say it, you're letting your heart be hardened, and pretty soon you won't hear me. And let me tell you something. If you don't obey him and you still think you're hearing him, you're in deception. Amen? And then all of a sudden, things that you know aren't right seem okay. But how many know you never have that peace? You don't have that joy. You're just still running and trying to think you're okay when you're not. Amen? All you got to do is go back to that place and repent. That's in the covenant. God, forgive me. God, restore me. God, take me back to that place where I can walk in you and do what you say. Amen? That's the mercy of God. The mercy, mercy, mercy of God. He's not like, oh, you did it wrong. It's over. No, you are the one who hardened your heart. He doesn't harden your heart. You're the one. So you're the one who can repent and let your heart be softened. Amen? Amen? Satan's going to do everything he can to harden your heart. What does it mean to harden your heart? To not agree, to not believe, to not think it's real, to not really hear, to question God, to get into bitterness. Amen? That's the hardening of your heart. Okay? All right. Today, when? Right now. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For hearing some provoked him, but not all those coming out of Egypt through Moses. But with whom he was angry 40 years, was it not the one sinning whose corpse fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear they would not enter his rest except those who do not obey? And we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. All right? So what have we learned in this covenant? Whew. We can go back to Old Testament covenant and we can see where they kept failing. All the stories, all the situations, all the places where they could not enter in to totally God being in charge. He used all those as examples, okay? He used all those as examples of what that looks like, all right? And all of us know, even as believers, when we have God inside of us so that we can live the life that pleases God, just like Jesus did, amen? We can live in that. Many of us continue to walk in the old covenant, right, of trying to figure it out and constantly, constantly not entering into that rest, amen? I think we need to really get serious. Like, I want to enter into that. I want to live in that place where it's like, when you see someone like Heidi Baker, who goes here and there and this and that and loves God and she's anointed whenever she talks, whatever she does. Why? She has entered into that rest. She has died to self and she lives for God. That's what the rest is. Death to self and living for God. Amen? Death to self. I'm going to do what he says when he wants. And the enemy's always going to try to harden our hearts and give us unbelief. Well, that's for them because she's called it. No, that's for you. That's for you. It's basically saying not eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Going all the way back to the place where God is in charge and you just do what he says. Does that bother anybody for God to be in charge? Who thinks they're better at his job? Now, what the enemy does is he makes us not understand God and he makes us not know God's ways. So we don't trust God. And if we don't trust God, then we really are afraid to trust. We're really afraid to let him be in charge, right? But if we, as we mature and grow and really embrace the true and living God, right, you begin to trust him more and more. It's almost like as you really begin to live in this place, after, for me, a lot of trials and a lot of death to self and a lot of stuff, you actually, if you're really walking this out with God, you get more faith, not less faith. So when something is coming down the pike, like, oh, instead of panic anymore, so it's like, okay, God, what do we do? How do we do it? What do you want to do? How do you want to do this? And then you just do it. You just do it. You like stop your flesh from reacting and you go, God, what do we do? And he honestly, when you stay in that place of rest in this new covenant, will tell you what to do. He wants to tell you what to do. But you've got to soften your heart to hear him. You've got to not be disobedient and you've got to listen and spend that time to hear him. Because he already, I wonder if we get this, he already knows the way of escape. He already has the plan. Our God is so awesome that when Satan wins one, what was meant for evil, when evil comes and it wins, God will turn it to good if we repent and turn to him. How big is that? How big is that? Amen? I mean, the devil cannot win the big picture when we walk with God, if we do it his way. Amen? So one thing is to recognize when the enemy whopped you. God's faithful. He can't lie. You're going to see this in Hebrews. He's not a man that he can lie. So part of it is knowing, okay, the devil just whopped me. He just closed the door that wasn't time to close yet. Amen? He just did this. He just did that. He just made sickness. He just took somebody out before their time. Amen? Recognize it. And then when you go to God and you say, God, I had hardened my heart. I didn't hear. Help me. And he's right there to go, okay. Now here's what we got to do. We're going to take what the enemy meant for evil. And because you're listening to me now and you're not hardening your heart now and you're not bitter and you're not blaming me and you're not falling into the law, lies, you see what I'm saying? Because you're not doing what he wants, the enemy wants, guess what? Wait till you see what I'm going to do. I'm going to take what was meant to destroy you, what I was meant to hurt your marriage, what I was meant to destroy your finances, what was going to destroy your health, and I'm actually going to turn that thing around for my glory. I'm going to make this so good that some people are going to think it was my will, but don't believe that I did the evil to bring you now out into this place of something glorious. Amen? Amen? Amen. Do you get that? Do you get it's not he does evil. He doesn't do evil. It's that if you repent in this covenant relationship, we are in a covenant relationship where we can really repent and mean it and not harden our hearts. And instead of getting unbelief because we don't understand anything, we can understand his ways. And so instead of getting unbelief, we get more hope. We earnestly expect healing. Amen? We earnestly expect the job to come forth. We earnestly expect God to work in the relationship. We earnestly expect for our family to walk with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Give me a yay if you really get it. Yay. Okay. Let's see it, folks. I feel like I was ministering to Heath earlier, and it's too hilarious because I don't know football at all. And I'm using all these football plays, and I felt like a football coach. And like, I said, I hope any of this makes sense. He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And I still feel like I kind of got that coaching thing. They're like, come on, team. We can do this. We just have to hear God and obey. Hear God. And enabling, okay, and codependency causes you, and pleasing man causes you to hear man and obey. And you can't obey God because you're off on a whole different thing. Amen? God, what do you want me to do? God, where do I repent? How did the enemy get in to do this? Thank you, there's no condemnation. I thank you, there's no condemnation. It's a cleansing of everything. Amen? It's a purifying of everything. It's Lord, I'm repenting to get everything out of the way that got me in this mess. It's not condemnation. It's a glorious, glorious gift of being able to start right now again. Amen? Amen. And have a brand new today. Amen. I am not hardening my heart today. I did that long enough. It was pretended faith. It was wrong doctrine. It was whatever. But you know what? God, by your great mercy and your will, I am not hardening my heart. Amen. If I missed it, I missed it. I repent. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to change who God is in my thinking and then think I'm not going to have a lot of bitterness and unbelief. I'm telling you, I am telling you, if I did not believe God in his word, if I did not ask him sincerely when my daughter died, what happened, and if I did not open my heart to hear, I'm telling you, I would have buried a second child. Can I help you understand this isn't a game, but at the same time, it's glorious to get to know God. I feel like the American church, because overall we don't face that much stuff, and by the time we do, we are so blindsided by it that the enemy wins and then we blame God. You know what I'm saying? And it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to wake up and enter into this true covenant. You cannot study the scriptures, Old Testament or New Testament, where it just looked like a walk in the park and everybody got rich, right? It's just not in there. There's no such thing as everybody just has this great, wonderful walk in the park life because they're Christians. Amen? It's about a relationship of hearing God, obeying God, and watching what he does. And then, wow, God, look at you, God. Go, God. Be glorifying God. Glorifying God. Amen? So I encourage you, learn where you're at. And ask God, help me to repent. Help me to see what is the way of escape. Amen? We're going to end right at this. Unbelief will stop you from entering into his perfect will. Okay? Unbelief will stop you from hearing him and being led by him. And so when the disciples cry out to Jesus, you know, when he was in the Gospels and said, help our unbelief. When the Father, you know, I don't remember Father but I don't believe it was a son or a daughter, whatever, but he said, Lord, help my unbelief. Amen? It's an okay prayer to ask Jesus to help our unbelief. It's an okay prayer to go to Holy Spirit and say, see, formula says, oh, just ask once, don't ask again. That's all made up. Who said that? Jesus said, knock and knock and knock and knock and knock and ask and ask and knock and knock and seek and knock and ask and seek and knock and knock. Don't stop until you have a breakthrough. Don't stop till you have a breakthrough. You don't have a breakthrough until you have a breakthrough. Amen? You don't. It's pretended faith to think you have a breakthrough before you have a breakthrough. When I have a breakthrough, I expect to see things change. When I have a breakthrough for finances, I expect to see the bills paid. Amen? When I have a breakthrough for healing, I expect to see healing. Amen? When I have a breakthrough in relationship, I expect to see a better relationship. Amen? Ooh. We sit around with saying all the right things and nothing changes and it's pretended faith and we think we're doing what we're called to do. Repent and get back into the place to enter into the relationship where he is leading you and he is in charge. We are not in the old covenant where we hear God through leaders. We are in a new covenant where we hear God ourself, and do not let a devil lie to you that it's okay not to hear God. Amen? Renounce all doctrine that makes you want to hear God through people. Yes, God uses people to speak into our lives. He uses the word. He uses teaching. He'll have people come along, but people can never take his place. And, oh, get it out of your heart to want to. I don't want to take his place. I can't and I don't want to. I don't want to be so emotionally involved with everybody's problems that I feel like I have to solve them. Okay, I don't, somebody asked me the other day, do you like being a pastor? How can you say being a pastor? I said, I just love being in God's will. So for me, that includes pastoring, amen? I just love being in God's will. I love God, and I love how he set me free to love people. I love relationships. I love God. I love relationships, and I love watching you overcome. I do not love watching you get beat up by the enemy because you will not enter into his rest. Amen? I can't do it for you. Amen? I can't do it for you because Jesus already has. Jesus already has. As we get more into this covenant, you're going to understand he's already done this. Amen? Father, we thank you, God, that you are the one who will show us how to soften our hearts as we ask you. And Lord, you are the one who will help us get rid of the unbelief. And Lord, you are the one who will get the evil out of our hearts and will help us to be free from deception that sin brought in. God, you are the one in this covenant relationship. You are the one to lead us. It's your voice that we want to hear. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us when the today came and we did not obey you. The today came and we didn't hear your voice. The today came and instead we listened to other people's doctrine that wasn't from your spirit. Or we listened to other people's advice that didn't come directly from you. God, we ask you to forgive us for looking to man when we should look to you. We thank you for the awesome, great, glorious privilege of getting to know your ways, hearing your voice, and walking with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the price you paid to be in covenant with us, to be in an agreement with us. So teach us, Lord. Teach us to understand you and your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.